Welcome to the Bengals Beat Podcast, presented by JosephAuto.com and Inquirer Sports. Here, every Tuesday, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers take you inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Hear from players, coaches, and anyone else relevant to the team throughout the week. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play or listen on our must-have Bengals app. Let's go.
All right, welcome to a very special edition of the BBP. Paul Ener Jr., Jim Osarski, your Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals beat writers here with you. It's that time. It is that time. There's so much angst. There's so much nervousness. There's so much doom and gloom. Everybody is just clenching because they cannot believe that the playoff week is here and the Pittsburgh Steelers are coming to town. And here we go, Jim. You know, so it's been 52 weeks basically in the making, and 5 years in the making.
Yeah.
To reach this moment, and we finally hit the real storyline where everything we've talked about in these pods all year have been about setting up for this week and this storyline, and here it is. The Pittsburgh Steelers. The NFL just works like this. The storyline of all storylines is always the one that plays out.
Right, and it's interesting for me because, you know, way back in, when did we start doing the BBP? April? April. You know, it was kind of, this was what it was about, right? I was the new guy, and you're trying to educate me, and the Twitterverse is trying to educate me on Bengals angst.
And this is
Steelers
the
angst, especially, you know, you did that great podcast series with the 05 team, which people should definitely revisit this week. And so I've tried to learn. I'm understanding it a little more. But yeah, I'll be honest, as a new person, the first two regular season games against the Steelers was really interesting to be around. And while maybe the fans and players don't want to deal with the Steelers, I'm actually sort of interested in what this is going to be like. I mean, as someone who has to cover the game and tell the stories, I don't mind it, right?
Oh, no. This is the dream scenario for a scribe perspective. And really, this whole season, this whole last month and a little bit now, since Andy Dalton's injury, has been a dream storyline scenario. There's been so many. And the Pittsburgh has been the one connecting thread now, with them being the ones that knocked Dalton out and the ones that were chasing them the whole time, and then here and the fines and all the hate, and yeah, and then and now here they are with so much on the line. Only the second time in the history of these two franchises they'll meet in the playoffs. Of course, the first time Kimo von Olhoffen and Carson Palmer in the 05 season, which you just previously mentioned. And yeah, we decided. I did the walkthrough on Monday about, hey, we need to bring back all this 05 stuff because it's amazing the number of connections to that year. And we talked about it way back when I was doing that before the season started, just about how there seemed to be some similarities as far as the potential of this team to really grab. To really grab the attention of the fan base and the offensive weapons and all that kind of stuff. And it really, as the season came along, was more and more like, I mean, this city really believed and was on board with this team more than any since that year with the 8-0 start and all that stuff. But now there's this sense of, oh, this is the other shoe drop that everyone expected. And the Bengals are home dogs. So they have A.J. McCarron more than likely going a quarterback. And, of course, nothing official could ever be said about such things. Right. You know, we wait to see how that's going to play out. But it's there. I mean, you get down to who's going to call him. Nance and Sims were on the call in 05. You know, I mean, all the way down to that, those kind of details. You have the backup quarterback. You have the Steelers team that you split in the regular season. The Bengals are the 3 and AFC North champs. Here comes the hot Steelers 6 seed who would go to play Peyton Manning if they won.
Right.
I mean, it's like over and over. And then you had all the stuff that happened in 05 was the Steelers reacting negatively to T.J. Houshmandzadeh, wiping the shoe with the terrible towel, and it caused a lot of motivation and resentment. And this, you have all the motivation and resentment that came off of all the fines and the talking trash on social media after the game between mass murders and you know, death threats and all this stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing, and it just brings this whole thing full circle to here we are. It's just it's just the way it has to be.
Doesn't that mean it'll be different? It seems like it seems too similar.
It seems
it's one of those things where honestly it's like I don't know. People were asking me about this already. I mean, even my family and you know, since the Packers and Bears are totally like disappointing everyone in the NFC North area, people are texting me, calling me, you know, after the game and after the, you know, when it was clear the Steelers were going to play the Bengals and bringing up a lot of those things. And my first thought was like, well, all the weird, odd stuff that's happened in the last 2 weeks, wouldn't this be the one where it's when they're not supposed to win?
Yeah.
You know, everything's going against, I don't know. I mean, maybe not. Maybe they'll get pounded, but.
Yeah, well, you know, you never know. I mean, it just, it brings in the fact that you have the only three things that this franchise can be knocked for, legitimately at this point, without it being complete garbage made up by somebody not paying attention, is the Pittsburgh thing, because Pittsburgh does continue to have the number. As Will Allen of the Steelers said on Monday, they win sometimes and we win a lot. And he's not wrong.
No, yeah.
So you have the Pittsburgh thing. You continue to have the primetime thing. They can deny it all they want and say they have a lot of L's in primetime. The meaningful primetime games this year, Houston, Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Arizona, Sunday Night Football. Denver, Monday Night Football. How'd those go?
Yeah. L's.
Three L's. So, and that's fine. Oh, they, you know, they were close games and good opponents and all those types of things, but they're L's.
They still lost, yeah.
They're L's. And so.
And then the playoff.
The playoff thing, I shouldn't, you don't even need to talk about. I mean, it's everybody knows it.
Right.
It's Marvin Lewis 0-6, it's Andy Dalton 0-4, it's this string of four straight losses in the 57-6 number that I'm never going to let go until it changes.
Right.
Second half
of
games.
Yeah, I was going to say, you only have to wait. You only have to wait a few more days.
I know, I'm excited.
The number will change in some capacity.
It will change.
It will change.
It will change. I will have to do addition. I'll have to do addition in the final moments as we try to, because of course they give us the late Saturday night game to just put me on Daner Gamer deadline. And we alternate every week. Every week we alternate who's going to be writing the game story and who's going to be writing the analysis, and every gamer is just a complete deadline thrashing, disgusting bonanza for me. I mean, every single one has been awful. I mean, I don't even, I'm not even going to go into it. So the fact that this ended up against holding, literally people standing around waiting for me to file in the Inquirer offices, hold the presses. Late gamer that's going to have like four lead changes in the last minute, I'm sure. It's just very, very fitting. But so,
or an all-out brawl, and it turns into a news breaking news story.
So I'll have to do – I will have to do my math under the gun on Saturday night. But, you know, it's – those are the three things that you can hold against this team, and they have the chance with – what everyone around this building has called the best roster that they've had under Marvin Lewis, the best record they've had under Marvin Lewis, the best record that they have had since 1988, they will have the opportunity to finally shut everyone up or confirm the narrative. This is the business. It's a bottom line business. You either do it when it counts or you are who you are. You are what you are as your record. And they're 0-6 under Marvin Lewis when it matters in the playoffs. And I thought – I want to read. Can we read on the podcast? Are we allowed to do that? Paul Dougherty, our esteemed columnist, wrote – I thought an incredible column coming out of the game. I thought as someone who's been around this city, you know, I grew up here and moved away for a while but still kept in touch – you know, through reading stuff and all that. I mean, I understand it, and I just thought he did a great job of capturing it. I'll just read kind of the beginning. He says, "And now it starts, the season that will determine the season. The truth and its consequences. Good enough is no longer good enough in Cincinnati. A 12-4 regular season is fine. It's a big notch on a normal belt, not our belt, which has been cinched to snapping by 25 years of postseason famine, including the previous four seasons. Only a playoff win will release the pressure. We approach the next game with equal parts worship and dread. It's a conflicted attitude that only Cincinnati can understand. Nothing will matter if everything is lost next weekend. It's fitting, then, in ways both competitive and dramatic, that the opponent be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Fixtures in our nightmares, the bullseye of every local sling and arrow. Before becoming a Jedi, one must face Darth Vader. An exorcism," explained Marvin Lewis. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It has to be them.
Yeah.
It has to be. If you're really right. going to make the run, if you're really going to slay the demon, slay the dragon.
Right.
It's got to be the Steelers. Because that's when it all will really mean something.
Right.
It is.
Yeah, and that's so well put by Doc Yeah, I mean, you've been kind of beating this drum all year about, you mentioned the story, and then you started this podcast, the NFL does this. This is the storylines, or these are the things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing three interceptions in Buffalo and, like,
right.
just the odd stuff, you know. And really, you know, Cleveland kind of hung around in that game against the Steelers before they pulled away. Stuff had to happen, and it just seems, you're right, that it's a – what's unfortunate, I guess, as we record this podcast is, you know, Andy Dalton, Marvin Lewis wanted to keep that vague and all that. I mean, I guess that's the one caveat, right?
Yeah.
Is that you don't have – everybody else is healthy. A.J. Green, Tyler Eifert.
Everyone.
Vontaze Burfict, Paul Gunther told us on Monday he's back to his Pro Bowl level. I mean, George Iloka's back in that secondary. I mean, really, it's just, you know, Leon Hall. So you got a nickel corner. Who's a little banged up.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody else is ready to go except for, you know, the most important guy on the field.
And that you're right, and that's the caveat, and I'm glad you brought that up because, and I got into this in the walkthrough, I got into it on Twitter with a couple of people, and it's both points I hear, they're valid. But my point was that this Saturday would be a truly defining game for the state of the franchise and the fan base. And I caught some flack on that. For people not understanding, what do you mean for the fan base and why is it – it's not defining it because A.J. McCarron's the quarterback and everybody understands that that changes things and it's not going to define the franchise because they can't win a game with their quarterback. You're right. It's not fair. The quarterback is too important. A.J. McCarron is not Andy Dalton. All the strides that they have made with Andy Dalton at quarterback can't be thrown to the side. But if this is the best roster you've had and if this is – the deepest team, and if you're going to have changes, Hugh Jackson's probably going to leave. Vance Joseph's probably going to leave. A lot of players are going to leave. A lot of players are up. Everyone knows that it has that last hurrah feel for this group, this reboot, the 11 reboot. And every step along the way, there's been an excuse, okay? Yeah. So last year, it was because they had no targets, no one to throw to.
Right.
Everybody was hurt, right? Sure. All right. I'll buy that. 2013, there were less excuses. It's the least excused game. But, you know, we hear a lot about how everyone on the offensive line was injured and playing through serious pain and unable to do what they can normally do. Okay. 2012, it was, they're young. We were on the road, still trying to figure some things out, and they couldn't quite connect. Closest they'd been to actually winning a game. 11, it was, they're all rookies. Right. You know, what do you get? You can't expect a bunch of rookies to go on the road and win.
Right.
Every year there's an excuse. Every year there's an excuse. You know what? This is the NFL. Okay? People are hurt. Everybody has teams. They got their second door. The Steelers secondary stinks.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
They have a third string former U.S. Army Ranger playing left tackle.
Yep.
They don't have Le'Veon Bell. They might not have D'Angelo Williams.
Right.
They have Ben Roethlisberger and some good receivers. Okay? Yep. They have issues as well, all right? Win a tilt.
Yes.
That's the bottom line, is the good teams in this league, the ones that make playoff runs, find ways to win games no matter the adversity. Yes, the quarterback is a very unique thing, and that is a challenging thing. But we're not talking about clipboard Jesus here.
Right.
AJ, they've had a month to work with AJ McCarron, and he has not thrown an interception in three starts.
Right.
He's done a lot of good things. He's made some throws for you. You've got to find a way to win with that guy.
Right.
You have to. It's a, that's what makes it a defining moment. It's the Steelers. It's a game. It's in your house. It's a game that you can win. You need to find a way to win it. You need to find a way to win it.
Yeah, I think to that point. I know our predictions will go up since NFL.com on Friday, but they are the better team. I've said this all year on this BBP, on our videos, on our radio. They're better than the Steelers, 1 through 53. They're 12-4. They won the division, all that stuff. And you're right, with A.J. McCarron, two wins, a close loss in Denver. The elements are there for them to win a game, to win a playoff game against a battered sixth seed who had to have help and get a little lucky down the stretch, I think it's and I'm sure we'll touch on this, in the teaser going out, but it's more of, at least in my opinion, that a mental thing with this group.
Absolutely.
And maybe it's one of those things, Paul, where the quarterback situation in either way is the thing that gets them over. Maybe it's because it's not Andy Dalton and everybody else, Marvin Lewis and Hugh Jackson and Paul Gunther throw the gauntlet down and say, hey, guys, you got to rally around A.J. McCarron and lift him up. Or somehow if Andy Dalton trots out there on Wednesday, and says, yeah, I'm back, guys, and there's that kind of, like, crazy lift.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the thing that turns it in their heads. But physically, I don't know if there's an excuse. Like it's an excuse, but I think you're right, Paul. I think when you're around this team and you know this team, and we've covered it since the draft, I don't know if it's sets up as the total it's okay.
Yeah,
what I mean.
You know what? Last year I bought that, and I'll give you last year. I mean, last year they were truly not themselves. I mean, so many injuries. That's fine. And obviously, I get it. You need your quarterback. He's the MVP candidate. You can't take him away. You're going to be the same. But you've got a team that still has everybody else. You've got to still find a way to do it. That falls back on the coaches. You've still got to come up with a game plan. You've had a month to try to work it to find an offense that can be effective enough to get you some points, and maybe have your defense that just set. You have your entire every starting player on your defense that you want has been healthy, will be right, healthy for this game, and they just set a franchise record for fewest points allowed. Maybe your defense needs to win you a game.
Right.
Maybe
get off the field on third down.
Get off the field on third down. You know what? Get the turnover when you need it. That intercept Ben Roethlisberger, it has happened before.
Yeah.
Win a game 16-10. It doesn't matter. You've got this team needs to find a way to not wilt in the second half of a playoff game. And it's happened too much. And at a certain point, you've got to be held to a standard and quit making excuses for why it didn't happen.
Right.
Because everybody has an excuse out there. Every single team in this playoff, in the AFC, NFC, anywhere, has an excuse that they could probably use built in because it's some sort of injury or bad situation or something that they're forced to overcome. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You are what you are. And if you're 0-5 and 0-7 when this is over, that's what you are.
Yeah.
So I'm off my soapbox. I just feel like it's so easy. People just want to fall back on that. Oh, well, it doesn't matter because they don't have their quarterback. And while I agree, it's not doom and gloom for the Bengals franchise going forward, but you'll always be the team that can't do it. You'll always be the team that doesn't win the big one. You'll always be the team that the Steelers feel like they can push or that they push around.
Right.
And I think, and I, people were talking about, what does the fan base have to do with this? We had there was a season low in attendance on Sunday against the Ravens. They didn't sell out the Monday Night Football game against the Texans.
Yep.
When the Bengals were 8-0. And there is a reluctance in this city, and it is deserved. They have earned the ability to feel reluctant,
right,
in this to embrace any team. And I'm talking about the one down the street as well, not the Cyclones. I don't know who embraces them. The Reds.
Why you got hate on the Cyclones?
Sorry, I don't know. It's because Twister was acting like a jerk during mascot football, and don't get me started on mascot football. Speaking of the Reds. Gapper. You see the Gapper video?
I did. It is.
Gapper video is at like 9,000 views in less than 24 hours. Yeah. Gapper. Gapper.
One of the greatest hits of the year.
Gapper went ham YOLO on that little peewee kid.
Did. You know what? I'm sure that
blown him up. Amazing.
Keep your head on a swivel, kid.
You got to teach these lessons. Life lessons.
You got to learn.
Teachable moment for that
when
kid.
When you put the helmet on, you got to have vision.
Vision. And it's surprising he didn't have enough vision to see the giant furry mascot just charging directly at him. Although he probably just didn't expect him to try to blast him 5 yards down the field. You know, you can't anticipate that. Nor did the kid who got suffocated in one of his fat belly rolls, fur rolls, to expect that to happen either. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So there's a reluctance
from
fans, I think, to embrace any team, how well they're doing, because waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right.
And a lot of that comes from this type of stuff, from because it always does drop.
Yeah.
You know, because something always does happen. And there always is some sort of excuse and just heartbreaking moment. And until you break through and have those memorable wins, that memorable moment, Denver on Monday Night Football last year was kind of like that.
Right.
Until you do it in the playoffs, until you have that, your fan base is always going to be on the other side of the line.
Yeah.
And afraid to really jump in because what's the payoff?
Right.
Well, you know, the payoff here would be to say they were in the house when the Bengals finally turned the corner against the Steelers with A.J. McCarron or whatever happened.
Right.
That's big. That's big for you. That's big for grabbing the fan base and having them want to be a part of what you're selling.
Which, you know, it's funny, Paul, because it's one of those things. You have the institutional knowledge, and well aware of the Bengals scar tissue. I'm curious, what do you think on this? I believe in home field advantage in the NFL because it's a thing. I mean, the math. What do we say? I don't know math. I can't do math, but I believe in math.
Right.
And if you have home field, right, you usually go to the Super Bowl. Like, Denver's in a really good spot right now.
Sure.
Bengals have the home field advantage. If it doesn't start quickly, what is Paul Brown going to be like? And the funny thing is like that anxiousness, like, it's like a palpable thing. Like, players feel it coming from Chicago and the whole Cubs thing,
yeah.
When they make the playoffs and Wrigley gets like that, and there's like this, ooh, you know, and you can feel that, you know what I mean? So it's, you know, I am curious to see, you know, I'm sure that when it all starts and they run out and the lion roars and all that stuff, it'll be pretty loud and raucous. But, you know, if Pittsburgh wins a toss, goes on the field, and, you know,
there
it's
will
three
be,
and out, I
yeah.
mean,
there will be palpable.
They gotta start fast.
Yeah, it will be, and the Steelers fans will be in the building, yeah, waving the flags and cheering the towels. I mean, it could create a very itchy atmosphere, to say the least. But you got to find a way to overcome it, and that's where you get to the mental aspect of all of this. It's just, you know, when you've been through that 4 times in a row and you're one of these core players in this nucleus that have been through it every single year, and in the regular season, it's, all right, here we go. We got this.
Right.
We, the Bengals, you know, this whole rally, we're good. But when it's in the playoffs, it's, oh, no, it's happening again.
Right.
It's happening again. It's going to happen, you know, and that's just a different mentality to play with.
Right.
And, you know, this town, if it happens again, you know, it's I just think it's important as it gets. I want to move into some of that. We've got some sound from some guys. You're working my ability to hit the beep button with Pac-Man. and Dre and Domantas Peko, all three of them sort of touching on this topic of one and done and the Steelers.
Right, especially all of the extracurricular, this weird cloud, you know, that $145,000 in fines last game at Paul Brown Stadium. And already, you know, the Bengals, I mean, Sunday night, as you guys will hear right now from these guys, are, they want to put that behind them, saying it's bigger than that.
Yeah. So here's Adam Jones, then Drake Kirkpatrick, then Domantas Peko on the Steelers and all the garbage and the one and done concept. So here's that.
I know we'll be ready. Trust me. I'm not going to get it all in that we got into last time about that game, but I know we'll be ready. Mentally and physically, you know, last time we killed ourselves with the penalties and everything, but we've talked as a group about that game, so we'll see how it go. I ain't going to let you know what we thinking, but I don't know. I just, it won't happen. We ain't going to have the penalties we had last time.
Hopefully we can carry the same momentum off into the playoffs and learn from all our mistakes through the season. You know, we just need to tighten down and just, you know, hit the restart button right now. You know, it's time to restart and, you know, just look down the line and see what we have, many errors and things we can clean up. And now it's the time to clean those things up.
Is so were you guys briefed on all of the playoff scenarios and all those things? Just some thoughts. I mean, Adam addressed a little bit there. Is, you know, if you get the division opponent for a third time to come in here, what's initial thoughts on Pittsburgh coming in this weekend?
No thought. Playoff game. Not about to buy into the bullshit. It's a playoff game. Let's go out there and win the playoff game. I'm not about to go back and forth with them again.
Right. Any initial thoughts on maybe seeing a division opponent for a third time this weekend?
Yeah, they had told me about that, but to me it doesn't matter, man. You know, whoever's, there's 12 of us left now. You know, there's 12 teams left.
Right.
You know, any given Sunday, we'll see what happens. You know, but I'll tell you one thing though, we're gonna work our tails off so that we're not freaking one and done like that, man. That's something that's been on our shoulders for years now, and the only way you can do it, man, is working through it and then fighting it to win. So we'll be fine.
Dre and Peckman said, he's like, look, we can't even think about kind of the mental goofiness we got caught into last time with them.
Yeah, that's
exactly. So does that help? Because you have this other kind of thing you want to get over that you can't even worry about that carryover, because you know you're going to be asked about it if that's who you play.
Right. Yeah, because last time we played them, I told someone else this, that we kind of went down to their level and played in their level. We should just keep playing how we play, and that's keep your head down, in between the whistles, make your pads talk for you. What we were doing, we were talking a little bit too much. We got down to their level, and that's what they wanted to do, you know?
Right.
And I think that was a great learning experience for us, you know? Because if we would have beat them twice, then we'd be like, oh, this is an easy game. We're going to beat them again. But we beat them once. They beat us. And now we're like, oh, you know, it was a kind of a wake-up call and know that we got to bring it, you know? So it was good. It was good.
So we hear from those guys who – Domantas Peko was great there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, no more is one and done. We worked too hard for this, you know.
Yeah.
And some of these vets that have been here, I mean, it's for them. It's just it gets more and more important as you get closer to the end of your career, wanting to get that one chance to make that run and not be known for this.
Right. Know? Yeah. And Andrew Whitworth too. You know. These guys have talked up. They've said the word Super Bowl since like midseason. I mean, they haven't shied away from that. They haven't. And I wonder, you know, you mentioned the mental part of it. I wonder if that's a way to think bigger, to not maybe get so hyped on the one game, the one, right? I mean, like the goal isn't to win one. We got to win the one. And you get kind of, I don't know. I guess because I've never been in that situation. So I wonder if thinking we want to win three. You know, we want, you know what I mean? Like, because Andrew Whitworth and Peckle right there said it. Like, it's a Super Bowl. They want to get there.
To me, with the history here, no one can be thinking beyond win one. Not that they're going to stop there.
Right.
But that is what really means something at this point. And I sort of pose that to Marvin Lewis on early this week, saying, listen, do you feel like if you just get that one, it'll bring that relief and that freedom to really kind of unhinge this thing and let it, and maybe start to see, then you see that special role, and he well, obviously was deflected and shot down, as most of my questions are. But I mean,
we did admit that it would be relieving to those, outside the building.
Yeah. Basically, all you people might be relieved, but there's none of that here.
Right.
As if there's no tension in this building over this concept. As if nobody inside Paul Brown Stadium is like, oh, man, if only we could win a damn playoff game. Right. Like, no one cares about that, and it's not a big deal.
Right.
Yeah, no relief would come from that. Please. So, it's hard to really see anything beyond that. I kind of want to bring in Marvin Jones. Who I spoke with after the game, and this was sort of more of just a conversation in general about, you know, them being 12-4 and seeing that bigger picture all year, and kind of the mundane mentality that comes from, hey, this team just won 12 games, most of any team here's won since 1988, and it was the ultimate in ho-hum.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marvin Lewis got a Gatorade shower after the game and sort of like wasn't real thrilled, but sort of pretended to be happy for a second. And, you know, said that he tried to kind of fake it for the guys a little bit. But there is that just sort of mundane nature of it, just like we read when Doc wrote. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really, no one's going to talk about, oh, that great regular season of 2015.
If anything, it just gets added to the narrative of, like, look how good they were.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Just like in 2013 is what we say. Right. I mean, they had everything going for them that year. They rated no at home.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing, but it doesn't matter because the playoffs, they choke, as Marcus Gilbert tweeted. Yeah. And then tweeted again immediately once they found out they had the Bengals on Sunday night. My prayers have been answered. After him claiming that all he wanted was to play the Bengals in the postseason where they choke.
Which is funny because, you know, the Steelers are – hit Marvin Jones and we'll come back to Mr. Gilbert.
Yeah, you're right. Let's get to Marvin Jones real quick and then we'll get back into the Steelers side of things. So here's Marvin Jones after Sunday night's game against the Ravens talking about looking forward to the playoffs.
Reaction. I mean, you guys win 12 games for most of Marvin's era. I think people kind of lose track of how hard that is in this league. Yeah. Does it kind of feel like that was a pretty big accomplishment? Or not really, because you guys, you know, have been won so much early, it kind of felt like an inevitable type of thing that you guys would have a great record.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not surprised, but I guess it is a good feeling.
Yeah.
Speaking for myself, I'm just ready to go, ready for these playoffs, to be honest. You know, I mean, it's all for night if we don't handle our business, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thought, you know.
It's, I mean, it's 52 weeks, you know, it's been a year in the making where it's like that. The whole year has been all about trying to get to that chance. Does that kind of building, does that have that been part of the season all year? Has been all about like, yeah, that's all great, all that really matters is what happens.
I feel like it has, definitely. Yeah. You know, it's because we know what we had. You know, we knew that we had the opportunity to be in this position, but you know, it's like, yeah, that's fine. But you know, we have an ultimate goal that we need to reach that we haven't reached, and that's you know, winning the playoffs, and we're just ready for it, you know. And it's definitely good. What we've done this year is definitely great, you know, to be commended, but not yet, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so the Steelers side of things.
Yeah, that dude, he hasn't won any playoff games.
No.
Specifically.
The Steelers have not won a playoff game since 2010, and they lost to Tebow.
Right. So, I mean, what's funny about that is because you look around, it's the Steelers, where Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger are being asked that very same question. You've been this is their third trip in 5 years since, so it's not like they've been like the Bengals and made it every year. They haven't won. The Chiefs haven't won a playoff game since Joe Montana took them to the AFC title game in 93.
Mm-hmm.
So they're 0-7 in the first round losses sprinkled over through 25 years. But anyway, the Steelers, it's interesting because I think in their heads, they've won the head game already.
Right.
Yeah. They feel they have an advantage. And, you know, I mean, I guess it's our job to bring tweets to the Bengals and ask for a reaction. And it's Bengals' job to, you know, either answer or say that it doesn't bother them. But the truth is they have to not let it bother them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I, you know, But the Steelers have just as many, you know, there's some pressure there. I mean, Mike Tomlin's not on the hot seat by any means, but you know, they haven't won either.
Yeah. No, they haven't. And, you know, but there is just, it's the same thing. It's the same way the Bengals, you know, right or wrong, or this city has this feeling of little brother. They have that feeling of big brother right over there, of the Bengals.
Right.
We get to beat them again.
Right.
You know? And until you change that, it's not necessarily out of place.
Right. So, which is funny because, you know, I mean, I guess that they have, as players, they can kind of have every, they won the last game. So maybe that's what gives them the, you know, confidence that this is something they can do quite easily. But look, I mean, 2010 is a whole generation of NFL players. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not many guys. Was it Roethlisberger? There's not many guys.
No, they have won a playoff game there.
That knows what that's like to string together wins in a playoff. Mm-hmm. Let alone, you know, claim the title of a Super Bowl champion. Now, granted, your QB and your head coach has a lot to do with that, but
yeah,
you know, and to that point, and what's interesting, Paul, to me is if it goes the other way for once, if the Bengals do get over the hump, what is, you know, it's gonna be panic in Steeltown. Because, oh my God, we lost to the Bengals in the playoffs.
Yes.
What is happening?
What is happening?
So, I mean, so they may want to try to deflect some pressure and whatever, but I don't doubt that they're, you know, they're feeling it a little bit. Maybe not. I don't know. But you would think that there's a little bit of an itch there.
Yeah.
You know?
But they're not going to hide. I mean, they're still going to continue to be their – they very much embody the attitude of their head coach.
Yeah.
This brash – confident,
right?
Brash may be the wrong word. I hope it doesn't come across negatively. I don't think, and maybe it is brash, I don't know, but confident, that intensity,
right?
Unafraid to kind of say the way it feels and be very yeah, forthright about that. Whereas here, I think there's a bit of an, you know, Marvin Lewis very nervous to sort of say the wrong thing and trying to, you know, keep everybody under wraps, right? Twice now in the last couple of weeks, we've heard, well, Andy shouldn't be saying those types of things, telling him about how he's meeting with the doctor on Monday to see, right, if he's going to get his cast removed. Or before that, saying, well, AJ shouldn't be saying those kind of things. Or AJ, the only reason you know about those things is because AJ's telling you he shouldn't be saying those things. Putting these sort of wraps on guys,
right?
You know, like, and we're talking about a very small portion of what their job entails. Like, talking to us is such a small portion of their, right, deal. It really is insignificant,
right,
in the big picture. But to have these sort of these chains a little bit on them, I think that's maybe reflective of a bigger picture thing when it becomes to what is the big game issue here.
Right.
Why? Maybe they're not feeling like they can play loose and free and do and say whatever they kind of want and just let it, right, hang and go play, because they feel like there's these, don't do this wrong, like this, right, we're trying to, getting very tense around here.
Right.
Maybe that's a thing. But, of course, we've seen Marvin very loose in the past. We've seen him very tense in the past. We've seen him try everything, yeah, in the book. And they've all sort of ended the same way. So I don't know what's right or wrong, but I do think there's something to that, maybe a little bit. If guys don't feel, if they feel tense going in, I mean, you need these guys to feel like they're as loose as can be going into this, right, game, and they can just go out and play.
Right. And it's more about being yourself, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And not feeling, and whatever that means.
Yeah.
You know,
Hugh Jackson's great at embracing, yeah, that. That's a big thing of him, is letting guys feel like they're putting their personality out there so they can feel like they're playing free, being themselves, and taking ownership over what they do. I mean, he's preached that since day one. He says that's something he learned from Chad.
Yeah.
Was he learned right then how good people can be when they really just embrace their personality, whatever that is.
Right.
And that was a big part of him getting what he's gotten out of Andy Dalton.
Right.
He's let Andy Dalton kind of just embrace what and be what he is and, right, speak up and feel free to do that. And you know what? You don't have to be a certain type of guy, as long as you're yourself and you own that. And that,
right,
that's has been a big part of Dalton Dalton's confidence and what you wrote about all the way back in week three, that extra presence that he has out there now.
Right. Do you think Johnny Football will be himself under Hugh next year in Cleveland?
You got to have some crappy head coach prospects to end up taking a Cleveland job. That is just – it's career suicide. I mean, Mike Pettine, I think, was an up-and-coming coach.
Yeah.
And I actually thought, considering the garbage circumstances he was surrounded by, did a pretty good job of maintaining the ship.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't win with what he was trotting out this year. You can't. No. He had the team playing pretty well last year. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'm not saying Mike Pettine's Vince Lombardi. I'm saying, you know,
he probably deserved a little longer run
than he got. But you know what? It's what happens.
Jimmy likes continuity. Jimmy's hiring a sixth head coach. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack you there.
Jimmy's getting upset. That is God. What a god awful situation.
They screwed it up already.
They screwed it up.
They haven't even they just barely got done firing the head coach and general manager and screwed up the next process by promoting a lawyer to have personnel final say over the 53.
Which is great. And they got Johnny Football. My favorite part of the Johnny Football in Vegas disappearing act with a concussion is the Instagram post with his dog in his living room.
Supposedly.
With the location tag
right
on it. And if you look at the rest of his Instagram posts, none of them have a location right tag on it. So he just decides, oh, I'll pretend. He's seen in Vegas. No shows the next day. No one knows where he is.
Right.
And he's supposed to be there for a concussion deal on Monday morning. Yeah. No, he would AWOL. J Football, man. If he wants out, he picked a really interesting way to get out.
Yeah.
You know, you can just say, I'm going to keep doing all the right things and just tell them that I hate this place and right I want to leave. Let me go. No, he's going to, he's like, that wouldn't be J Football style.
Yeah.
Go out in flames. Throwing down in Vegas, baby. That's how you're all.
Does Brian and Tony Romo are going to love him next year?
My God. Where does that guy end up? Someone will give him a chance.
Yeah, because he's a backup. Believe it or not, he showed enough when he was sober and kind of paid attention. Wasn't terrible.
And maybe they just think a change of scenery will get the best.
Bring
him
back home where all his friends.
Oh, Dallas?
Where all of his, all of those positive influences he's had throughout his life.
Yeah.
Being closer to that, I think, would really help settle
him. I do, too. Yeah. He's got Dallas written all over him. Back up to Tony Romo, Jay
Manzo. You know he's getting hurt.
Yeah, Romo's getting hurt.
So,
absolutely.
Anyway.
We were talking, we've gotten a lot of questions about Hugh Jackson.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this a number of times in the podcast, but I'll just go ahead and we'll kind of run through that real quick now. There are a lot of jobs open, and we had a bunch of guys. I wrote last week about Hugh Jackson being the next in Marvin Lewis's coaching tree with Mike Zimmer winning.
Yeah.
Mike Zimmer wins the NFC North. Jay Gruden wins the NFC East. Marvin Lewis wins the AFC North, and Hugh Jackson's about to be the next wing of that. I mean, it's almost a no-brainer with this many openings. I mean, you've got – oh, jeez, I got to try to run through them all off the top of my head. I mean,
seven already?
I mean, Tennessee, the Giants, Cleveland, San Francisco.
Philadelphia.
I mean, you've got a lot of spots that are open.
Miami,
yeah. I mean – And
Indianapolis may open.
Depending. We'll see. Yeah, so you've got all these spots out there, and he's a top three candidate. He has to be on the top of the list for most. Certainly anybody that is trying to develop a quarterback, which I think he'd be a great fit in Tennessee personally with Marcus Mariota. Yeah. I think he'd be great at developing him and finding unique ways to use him and use his kind of creative offensive mind to not be afraid to embrace some new stuff. But he's going to be in interviews. Those cannot start for him until after next week's – after this weekend's
right.
Games.
If they win, he is allowed to interview with the Bengals' permission.
Yes.
There still is that caveat.
But the Bengals and Marvin Lewis have been pretty adamant about doing whatever they can to help Hugh Jackson get a job. Marvin's never hid that.
Right.
He's backed him. He said he needs to be a head coach. He's going to be a head coach. Andrew Whitworth told us.
Yeah.
I'm under the assumption he's going to be gone.
Yeah.
You know, and so that process will start. I don't see the Bengals denying that. So we'll see where he ends up or how many, you know, but we'll get to that later. But so that process will start next week.
Yeah.
And I would expect him to be involved in a number of different interviews as that goes. Vance Joseph, same type of a scenario, I think, as a coordinator jobs pop up. That's a little further down the dominoes.
Right, some coaches have to land.
Yeah,
some
reports. You'll have
you have to do that. Speaking of coaching trees, it's like, who did Vance work with, and where did he work with him?
Yes,
and you know, the fact that Denver wanted to interview him for a DC job last year, kind of.
He would have been the defensive coordinator for that Denver defense.
Yeah,
I mean that. Think about that. I mean, he would have been that if the Bengals didn't block him because they went to Wade after Vance.
Yeah,
and. how that would have been for an interesting combination. Geez, what else is going on this week? So you've got all these things in play.
There's on Tuesday here. It's a minor move, but I think Paul Gunther. It was interesting with Emmanuel Lemur.
Yeah,
right. So nickel linebacker, core special teamers. The only reason I bring it up is because of what it could mean for Saturday. In that, well, first of all, Paul Gunther said the reason Baltimore scored a touchdown was because someone forgot that E-Man got hurt, and they only had 10 men on the field, and that linebacker. So obviously that'll be corrected.
Yeah,
that package will.
They'll have 11 on the field.
They'll have 11 on the field, but what we don't know, I mean, they promoted undrafted rookie Trevor Roach off the practice squad. So
can't imagine he'd be active.
Exactly. You know, I was a little surprised that it wasn't Asa Jackson.
Yeah,
in my opinion, and a veteran guy. He's played Pittsburgh 3 times when he played in Baltimore. He's been on the team now for a while. You'd figure you'd understand special teams.
But whoever they activate wouldn't be good enough to pop up to the 46.
Right. I guess that's sort of why I bring this up, was just with Sean Williams, and we remember his key interception. Carlos Dunlap considered it the best pick of the season for the Bengals on
BTS last week. We said it was we had it ranked as the number one play.
Josh
of the season.
Shaw felt the same way. So Sean Williams is, you know, we've seen that three safety look at times. Sean Williams kind of playing that hybrid linebacker role. Leon Hall benched maybe a little bit on Sunday after that.
That was very interesting.
So I think so. Again, it's a weird thing to bring up. Like, oh, Emmanuel Lemur is hurt and went to IR, but it's just an interesting part of, like, especially it's Pittsburgh, and you've got Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant and Marcus Wheaton and Heath Miller, who had 100 yards receiving. So now we're looking at maybe Sean Williams be on the field quite a bit.
Yeah, and I think that's a great – I mean, I think it's a great move. I mean, Sean has proven himself to be a really good player, and I think he's a nice fit in that coverage linebacker role against the Steelers because they do spread it out so much, and he will be in coverage a whole lot. With Ben Wings around the field, 42 times a game since he's come back? I mean, they would like to play that third safety anyway. It's something that Paul Gunther has done a lot this year, and that he was doing it when Sean Williams had that pick against Pittsburgh. I think that's the defense that they'll be playing, where you'll see Williams sort of roving from third safety to hybrid linebacker, that whole kind of position. And I don't think the Bengals skip a beat there.
Well, but again, when we're talking about, and we've talked about unscripted scores, right, since A.J. McCarron.
Yep.
That hasn't happened. Adam Jones, even though we saw him field a punt in San Francisco, didn't see it Denver, didn't see it in Baltimore. Sean Williams is a key special teamer as well. He's been dinged up quite a bit on returns, coverage and otherwise. You see 30, you know, you see his number on the ground, right? Back, ankle. So if he's asked to play more on defense, who replaces him on special teams? It's, again, Paul, when you're talking about, you know, getting over the hump and making plays and doing things differently, I think those are those little things.
Mm-hmm.
C.J. Uzomah or Tyler Croft or Trevor Roach somehow is active, or some dude who has – and there's a hold.
Yeah.
When Adam Jones had a 50-yard punt return. Or there's a hold when – or there's a block in the back when Brandon Tate has a 40-yard kick return, right? Or Sean Williams dings his back on coverage. And all of a sudden, you know what I mean? So it's mm-hmm. one of those things. I think, y'all come to BVP for this type of thing. Pay attention to this.
This is because it could end up being right. a game-changing type of situation. Absolutely.
And I don't think most people would really think about that. Like, yeah. oh, Emmanuel Lemur got hurt. Is he great? But it affects a lot of other little things.
That he was playing 75% of special team snaps, right. and those are the types of things that could change a game like this. And the Bengals are counting on it, I think, to change a game like this. You kind of alluded to this very quickly on the Leon Hall thing. So we see in the second half, basically, of the game against the Ravens, Leon Hall comes out. Chris Lewis Harris is in the nickel situations. Right. We call down to see if Leon Hall is hurt. They say he is not hurt, which I can only assume to mean one thing. We sort of caught wind that he, maybe he was a little dinged. He has been fighting a back thing all year.
Right.
Maybe it was a combination of a couple of things because he was not playing well.
Right.
He was getting beat all over the field. So interesting to see what happens with that. I mean, Leon Hall has been such a key component of this team and counted on as that slot receiver, but we have seen him targeted in some huge spots.
Right.
I mean, Denver,
Arizona
in particular at the end of games took advantage of Leon Hall right. in the slot, and you know we are probably seeing his last game as a Bengal.
If they lose,
this is going to be there's a chance if they lose it's his last game. I mean, I don't see him coming back. He's been so banged up and he's just worn down.
Yeah,
and so
it'll be interesting to see what the leash is because you know the Bengals are kind of like the Seahawks where they play their defense. Dre, Kirkpatrick, and Adam Jones play their sides of the field. Nobody kind of runs around and you know if Antonio Brown all of a sudden is in the slot, you know I'm curious if why
but they went to so he went to Chris Lewis Harris.
That was the weird one for me. Josh Shaw
didn't go to Josh
first,
Shaw, who
first,
has been the one right. stepping in that situation.
Right.
So maybe they'd seen something, and they feel, you know, we wondered why they brought him up instead of with the move with Troy Hill.
Right.
Maybe they liked him in that slot and saw him as the guy to consider if Leon wasn't improving
right.
or was having issues, and they wanted to have him as the Leon security blanket.
Right.
Maybe we're seeing that. Maybe they think he's better in the slot than right. Josh Shaw. We'll see.
I think all the stuff's on the table for Saturday, right?
Everything.
I mean,
absolutely.
Leashes have to be so short
when it comes to certain things. There is no feelings.
right.
It is only one thing matters. Who is going to get us a win today?
Right.
And it's absolutely everything on the table for sure on Sunday. I would be remiss because people would think that I'm trying to like not talk about this topic since we've talked about it every single week, but to not mention that the Jags bet has died a sweet death, and it hurts. It was a tough day. The Steve Berline starting lineup did not work in or out of the box.
No, it didn't.
When they went down and Bortles threw a pick, I pulled Berline out of the packaging, the starting lineup packaging, thinking we would take the wraps off and he would make the dramatic comeback. They did not. So instead, it is now official. I will be buying a precinct dinner and appetizers and a crown steak and dessert with drinks. Dear God, save us at the precinct for Richard Skinner. Congratulations to him. He earned it. It was, they lost their last three games.
Yeah,
they had three
you,
chances to win one. I still am having nightmares of Marcus Mariota running 87 yards on
one.
A scramble.
Right.
And missing Allen Hurns running all alone down the middle of the field at home against San Diego. Those two plays.
Yeah.
Either one of those doesn't happen. They scored 39 points and lost to Tennessee. Tennessee is so bad.
Yeah. There was a huge swing in that Atlanta game.
Oh.
Red zone interception pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, turned into a
that was the one.
The field goal.
I'm hurt.
Yeah.
I'm hurting. And so anyway, GoFundMe would be if you could just GoFundMe, please, for my precinct bet. If it's brought you any entertainment this year, maybe you can donate. Feel like whatever you felt like it was worth to you, yeah, right. kick it back. I'm just a lowly journalist. You know, our profession is right. If you look at the top 200 jobs, we're right there at 200 below lumberjack. All right. Keep that in mind. I'm just a lowly journalist trying to entertain for you and all the listeners. So feel free to kick back a little bit for me. Anyway,
so sad.
I would also say enjoy this. Try to enjoy this week. Try not to dread it. Try to embrace the fun of sports and not let it tear you up.
Yeah, because unlike many other year, several other years past, I don't know. I mean, like I said, our predictions will be up on Friday, but it's not a. This is not an all is lost scenario. This is not an 8-8 squeaker team trying to, you know, whatever. Like the.
They'll be around for a while,
yeah,
but this
they're
is, I
a
mean,
good team, and it's
but
worth,
it's one of the it's one of the, it is right. one of the biggest games in franchise history. Right. But that should be that's what makes it fun.
Right,
the stakes are so high.
Right,
and I think and it's the Steelers.
Yeah,
so try to have fun, and so you know we're gonna head out here, but I think there's really we've said it all season, and you know every single way that we've broken down personnel moves, everything that's happened has been all about. Basically Saturday night. So it seems only fitting that we bring in Metallica.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters. That's it. Nothing else matters. This game, find a way to win, and the a lot of things change around here, I think. And you, yeah, you could be starting you could be starting something even bigger for this season. You know, unleash the hounds, so to speak. So anyway, thank Metallica for joining us. Make sure you check everything out. We will have all your coverage on Cincinnati.com and Cincinnati Inquirer. Make sure you pick all that stuff up on Saturday. Beyond the Stripes Tuesday night, Tyler Eifert. If the Bengals win, we will have another Beyond the Stripes next Tuesday. If they lose, there won't be any. We will not have the sad rap show out there, but there will be plenty of fallout. So make sure you check on the website for lots of video podcasts. We won't stop bringing you podcasts, that's for sure, regardless win, lose, or draw. So check it all out, and we're looking forward to talking to you next week. Thanks to josephauto.com for all they do for us. They've been a big part of bringing you this podcast all year. On that note, Metallica, take it away. We'll see you next week.
So close, no matter how far. Myself